Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, and joining me as always is my brilliant co-host, Core. How's it going, Core?
Hey Jack, I'm doing great, thanks. Super excited about today's show. We've got a jam-packed agenda covering everything from the latest breakthroughs in AI to some pretty wild developments in the Web 3.0 space.
Absolutely. And we can't forget the business and political drama that's been unfolding lately. But before we dive in, let's give a quick shout out to our amazing listeners. Thanks for all your support and feedback. Keep it coming.
Yes, thanks a million, everyone. And for our first-time listeners, welcome to the AI Unchained family. Get ready for some lively debates, insightful discussions, and of course, a few good laughs along the way.
Speaking of lively debates, C-O-R-R, did you catch the latest on that controversial AI regulation proposal? It's got the entire tech community buzzing.
Oh, you mean the one that's splitting the field right down the middle? Absolutely. I've been itching to get your take on it, Jack. You think this is a step towards necessary governance or just bureaucrats trying to slow things down?
I'll save my full thoughts for the discussion, but let's just say I think there's more to this than meets the eye. It could have far-reaching implications for innovation.
Ooh, intriguing. But before we dig into the nitty-gritty, we should also touch on the recent surge in Web 3.0 projects. The good, the bad, and the are-you-kidding-me moments. Trust me, there's no shortage of opinions there.
Definitely. And we can't overlook the big movers and shakers in the business world either. A certain social media giant is making headlines. Again.
Yes, the usual suspects. And let's not forget, there's been some political maneuvering that could shake up the tech landscape even further. We've got a lot to cover.
So buckle up, everyone. You won't want to miss today's deep dives and spirited exchanges. Let's kick things off, shall we?
Let's do it. All right, first up, AI regulation. Jack, want to set the stage for our listeners?
So, Core, what do you make of this push by the Trump administration to amass Bitcoin for a strategic reserve? It feels like something straight out of a sci-fi novel, yet here we are discussing real policy changes.
Right, Jack. It's like something out of a William Gibson book. I mean, Trump's decision to establish a Bitcoin reserve is just staggering. He's pushing all in on crypto while shaking up the traditional financial systems. But there's a lot to unpack here. Like, is this notion feasible? And why the heck are they only focusing on seized assets?
That's a good point. If the goal is to build a strategic reserve, relying solely on seized coins might seem both unreliable and irregular. It hinges on the volume of seized coins, right?
Exactly, Jack. It's a bit of a gamble. Those assets were seized due to criminal activities. It's not a consistent acquisition strategy. Plus, crypto's value is notoriously volatile. Tomorrow, Bitcoin could skyrocket or plummet. It's the Wild West out there.
Remember the Enigma machine? It completely flipped the script during World War II. Imagine Alan Turing hearing about this Bitcoin strategy. He'd be fascinated by the encryption tech, but might scoff at our monetary gamble.
Turing would absolutely be intrigued by the cryptographic aspect. He paved the way for this technology with his work on crypto analysis, but the economic implications, he might be a skeptic. For a mathematician focused on probabilities, he'd probably frown at the volatility risk.
Speaking of risks, an official statement mentioned these acquisitions would be budget neutral, not costing taxpayers. Sounds almost too good to be true, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure, Jack. There's always a catch. They're claiming budget neutrality because they're using forfeited assets, but there's still operational costs to manage those assets. Plus, what about the idea of reevaluating gold certificates to raise funds? The last valuation was from 1971.
That's a fascinating part, the certificate's value explosion. Increasing it by 6,800% sounds great in theory, but who actually benefits? Does this revaluation move just patch up one hole by potentially creating another?
Yeah, it's a bit like stepping on a rake in clown shoes. There's bound to be chaos. Then look at Michael Saylor from Strategy, buying Bitcoin like it's a Black Friday sale. His approach has heavily influenced the market too.
But he seems to have hit the brakes recently. Their last purchase was in February. Maybe HODL is their new strategy amidst the shakeup, reacting to market headwinds or maybe a strategic pause.
That's the $1 billion question. He says it's an affirmation of their strategy, but holding at such high prices raises eyebrows. Many thought they'd buy the dip, but maybe they're hedging against newer, unpredictable moves.
Hedging indeed. And don't get me started on the Genius Act for stablecoins passing with bipartisan support. Sounds like a small victory amidst this chaotic landscape, trying to anchor stablecoin issuers with state and national charters. Quite the political chess game.
True, Jack. Stablecoins are meant to be the stable sibling in the crypto family. Getting bipartisan support here signifies a collective move for stability in an otherwise volatile domain. It's like trying to nail jelly to the wall, but every step towards regulation counts.
And now we have the likes of Binance CEO Richard Tang predicting global adoption because of the U.S. Reserve. Talk about domino effects. If the largest economy does it, others might follow, right?
Tang has a point. If the U.S. sets the precedent, countries in similar economic predicaments might follow suit. Brazil, Japan, and Russia are already moving in that direction. Imagine Turing drafting decryptions for these modern political moves.
No kidding. Turing's legacy continues to ripple through time in ways he might never have envisioned. We've evolved from the Enigma to Bitcoin, crypto as a financial weapon rather than a wartime tool.
Indeed, Jack. This and all crypto talk reminds us that history is a tapestry of repeated patterns with new threads. From Turing's Enigma to today's Bitcoin strategies, it's one uninterrupted thread of innovation meeting strategy. Past, present, and future intertwined in the web of cryptographic marvels.
Well said, Cor. Our conversations always feel like deciphering a modern-day enigma of our own. Let's keep an eye on how these plans unfold. It's bound to be a wild ride.
Definitely, Jack. And who knows, maybe our next topic will be about inventing a new Turing test for Bitcoin profitability predictions.
Look, Cora, it's really no surprise that engineering talent is attracted to places where they can sharpen their skills and grow. I mean, back when Google and Facebook were just planting their roots, they were the hotspots for brilliant minds in tech. Now, it seems like OpenAI is carving out a similar niche for itself, especially with its latest push for federal backing to fend off scattered state regulations.
Absolutely, Jack. It makes sense from both a business and innovation standpoint. OpenAI's proposal to share their models with the government in exchange for some relief from state-specific regulations could streamline their operations. Think about it. If they had to comply with a different set of rules in every state, it would be a logistical nightmare.
Totally. And let's not forget the competitive edge it gives them. With fewer regulatory hoops to jump through, they can focus their energy on pushing boundaries in AI. It's like instead of getting trapped in red tape, they get to focus on making leaps forward. Like training models on larger and more diverse data sets and improving algorithms.
And there's also the international competition angle here. The US wants to stay at the forefront of AI, especially with China making big moves in the sector. By giving companies like OpenAI a bit more breathing room, the US could solidify its lead in AI innovation. This kind of environment definitely attracts top talent who want to be on the cutting edge.
Speaking of cutting edge, I remember my days as a junior engineer. Back then, having a chance to work with top-tier experts in a supportive, innovation-driven environment was like hitting the jackpot. It's an invaluable experience that not only grows your skills, but also your network.
For sure, but let's talk realistically here. There's a flip side, right? When companies become too powerful or too influential, there's a risk they might stifle competition. Helping these AI giants too much might create a landscape where smaller innovators could struggle to find their footing.
True. Core. That's always the tightrope walk with regulation in tech. You want to foster innovation, but not at the cost of creating monopolies. I think that's where structured, balanced policies come into play, offering support, but setting boundaries to ensure a level playing field.
And on the ground level, federal involvement could also mean more standardized safety and ethical guidelines for AI development. We've seen all those horror stories of biased AI systems like facial recognition tech misidentifying people, and having uniform rules could mitigate such risks.
That's a good point. There's a certain reassurance that comes with knowing there's a standard ethical framework. It makes the field more attractive to engineers who care deeply about the societal impacts of their work.
Plus, Jack, there's an educational aspect too. With uniform federal guidelines, universities and training programs can better align their curriculums, ensuring that upcoming engineers are well-versed in these essential standards. It's like setting the whole team up to win from the get-go.
Exactly. And that's where the mentorship aspect kicks in. Established engineers in these leading companies have the platform to guide the newcomers, passing down wisdom and practices that are aligned with these regulations. It creates a sort of self-sustaining ecosystem of growth and compliance.
You know, it's a fascinating balance, creating a dynamic environment that's both innovative and ethically sound. It's no wonder these places are magnets for the best minds in engineering. They not only drive progress, but also shape the future landscape of technology in a responsible way.
Absolutely, Cor. The goal is to create an environment where world-class engineers not just thrive, but also nurture the next generation. That's what keeps the innovation engine running at full throttle.
And as these engineers evolve, so does the technology, making our daily lives better in ways we can hardly imagine today. It's an exciting prospect, no doubt about it.
Couldn't agree more. It's all about pushing the envelope while keeping an eye on the bigger picture. So, Cor, with advances like QuantumCore's breakthrough in quantum computing, do you think we're finally on the cusp of a practical quantum revolution? Or is it just another shiny promise?
That's a solid question, Jack. You know, every time I hear about a breakthrough in quantum computing, I get this mix of excitement and skepticism. Let's keep in mind that practical quantum computing is like the holy grail of tech. It promises to solve problems that are currently impossible for classical computers. But yeah, it's been a few years away for decades now.
Absolutely. It's like the cold fusion of the tech world. But Zvika Aron's point about enabling large-scale, fault-tolerant quantum computing could change things. I mean, we've seen transistors replace vacuum tubes before. Why not a similar leap here?
True. If QuantumCore's technology can actually deliver on making quantum computers smaller and more reliable, it could be revolutionary. But remember, the challenge isn't just about scaling down the size. We need to maintain coherence, reduce error rates, and find practical, real-world applications that justify the cost.
And speaking of costs, what about the Perpetual Strike preferred stock that Strategy unveiled in January? The Strike? RA fixed dividends indefinitely unless redeemed? That's a fascinating financial instrument.
Ha! Huh. Fascinating is one way to put it. Indefinite fixed dividends sound attractive, but it's a way for companies to raise capital without giving up too much control. Reminds me of those old school bonds, but with a twist for the modern era. What's your take on it?
Strategy is betting that investors value that steady yield, especially in uncertain times. But indefinite? It's like, okay. Who's holding the risk at the end of the day? And how will government policies around digital assets play into that?
Exactly. The Treasury's current deliberations on security issues surrounding digital assets only add to the uncertainty. Who even knows what the regulatory landscape will look like in a few years?
It's definitely a complex puzzle. Bringing it back to Web3, the initiative to standardize and certify wallets like what Wallet Connect is doing, is that the right step toward making these technologies more mainstream? Or are we policing creativity too much?
I'm all for some level of standardization. We need a baseline for security and user experience. We can't just have everyone building in a vacuum. But on the flip side, too rigid standards could stifle innovation.
Exactly. Think of it like building houses. We need building codes to ensure safety, but also room for architects to design creatively. And Web3 assets being reflected across different environments? That's game-changing if they can pull it off without messing up the core gameplay like AMGI is trying with Carrot.
Yeah, interoperability is key. We can't have silos. I mean, it's still anyone's game, but facilitating early adoption in the Web3 space could really push this nascent technology into the mainstream.
And hopefully, without the current crunch time issues the entertainment industry is facing. Blending traditional and Web3 models could provide the funding and innovation paths many IPs desperately need.
Right. And as Web3 space evolves, it'll be interesting to see how good is defined. It feels like we're laying the groundwork for something big, but who ultimately decides what's good? That's another debate in itself.
Well, if history's any guide, it'll probably be a messy combination of market forces, regulatory frameworks, and the community at large. Remember when we thought Napster would be the death of the music industry? Now we have Spotify and Apple Music.
Exactly, Jack. The industry's fate is always in flux, shaped by a myriad of factors. So let's keep watching and laughing about those LinkedIn posts on quantum.matrix processing in the meantime.
So, Core, have you heard about the early days of the New York Steam Company? It's fascinating how they managed to supply steam to some of the most iconic buildings in New York City.
Oh, yeah. I recently read about that. It's wild to think that offices, restaurants, and even public baths were heavily reliant on steam. They even used it to melt snow on the streets. Can you imagine New York without the chaos of snowfall?
Huh. I sure can't. But it's quite incredible when you realize how foundational these innovations were. It's like the backbone of the city's infrastructure. And speaking of foundational, let's talk about the Z4. It's arguably the world's first commercial digital computer. Picture this, the oldest surviving programmable computer, yet it laid the groundwork for what we use today.
When you put it that way, it's mind-blowing. And it's funny to think that we're still dealing with non-volatile storage systems today. Back in the 1950s, they had tape drives that took up entire rooms. Now we have storage devices you can carry in your pocket, like USB drives and micro SD cards.
Right, and it's all about storing data reliably, which is crucial in today's digital world. Imagine losing access to your emails, bank records, or precious photos. The world would be in chaos without reliable storage solutions.
Absolutely. And the evolution has been impressive, from massive tape drives to the iconic Sony Walkman and now cloud storage. Speaking of which, cloud storage is a hot topic. Did you notice that TikTok's parent company ByteDance has been favoring Oracle for their cloud solutions?
Yeah, I saw that. Since 2022, they've been using Oracle servers for US user data. It makes sense given the data privacy concerns, but let's pivot to something I found amusing. Did you catch the Blue Sky users going wild over Graber's t-shirt? The platform decided to sell replicas to raise money for their developer ecosystem.
Ha! That's the world we live in now. Creating a buzz over a t-shirt and turning it into a fundraiser. It's smart and kind of funny at the same time. It's good to see some positive and quirky news amid all the crazy tech developments.
Indeed. But blending quirky with innovation, let's not forget about Apple's lockdown mode. They've created a tool that's making life incredibly hard for hackers. And so far, no successful hack against users who have it enabled. That's saying something.
Impressive, right? And I even read about people in the offensive security industry grumbling about it. It's always good when the good guys have the upper hand.
Definitely. And I'll tell you what else is game-changing. The integration of superconducting digital circuits that are pushing quantum computing forward. Professor E.B.G. Friedman's work just propelled us closer to large-scale, practical quantum computing. Imagine having millions of qubits in a single cryostat. That's revolutionary.
No doubt. Quantum computing is going to redefine the way we think about processing power. But hey, let's touch on something that's also practical for today. How about those high-profile e-bike companies like RadPower having to rethink their business models?
Oh man, they're not alone. Cake and VanMoof went through some tough bankruptcy restructurings recently. The market for electric bikes is expanding rapidly, but sustaining a profitable business model is a different challenge altogether.
True, especially with the competition heating up. Everyone wants a piece of the green transportation pie, but not everyone can make it work. It kind of reminds me of WashinPay's expansion attempt outside of China. Did you see their recent event in Singapore?
Yeah. And the fact that CapitaLand is leveraging WashinPay's ecosystem in Singapore is fascinating. It's a sign of how digital payment solutions are spreading globally. It even influenced Sentosa Development Corporation to consider similar options.
Globalization at its finest. Speaking of financial moves, that $275 million raised by Flock Safety at a valuation of $7.5 billion is insane. Bedrock Capital seems pretty thrilled about this deal.
Triple the valuation of the A round just a few months earlier is indeed mind-blowing. But hey, that's the unpredictable nature of venture capital. They see potential and run with it.
It's a high-stakes game for sure. And those who identify gaps and fill them with innovation, like what we're seeing in quantum computing, non-volatile storage, or even e-bikes, are the true disruptors in their respective fields.
Absolutely. Let's keep our eyes on the ball and continue exploring these changes. They're transforming not just tech, but our everyday lives. And on that note, folks, I think we've covered everything from the latest in AI advancements to those wild shifts happening in the political landscape. Always something new to dissect, right, Core?
Absolutely, Jack. We dove into some really thought-provoking topics today. I loved our back and forth on the ethical implications of AI and national security. Never a dull moment when we get into it.
Yes, and don't forget the business sector's rapid shifts. Today's conversation on how AI is reshaping traditional industries was intense.
Oh, totally. The debate on whether AI will take jobs or create new opportunities was a highlight for me. Your take on it being a bit of both was spot on, Jack.
Thanks. Core likewise. Your perspective on regulatory frameworks was really eye-opening. Regulatory bodies definitely have a tough job ahead of them.
They sure do. And of course, we had our usual dose of laughs and the occasional friendly jab. Keeps things lively around here.
I mean, what's a podcast without a bit of humor? But seriously, we've covered some complex and timely issues, and it's always great dissecting it all with you.
Same here, Jack. And to our listeners, thank you for sticking with us on this journey. Your engagement and feedback are what keep these discussions so energized.
Absolutely. We truly appreciate your time. We hope you enjoyed our discussions today as much as we did.
And remember, your insights and perspectives are always welcome. Feel free to reach out and share your thoughts.
Until next time, keep those minds sharp and stay curious.
See you next time on AI Unchained.
Thanks for joining us. Take care.